Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to today do a lesson I believe will greatly encourage you. And we're going to begin with the scripture on the screen there, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It reads, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Our topic today is the hub of grace. Say the hub of grace. The text says that there is something called manifold grace. What does that mean? Well, the word manifold means diverse, it means many-sided, it means multifaceted. That is, the grace of God isn't one thing. Grace is everything, amen? Because grace and truth came by Jesus. Now, I want to help us today recognize when God does something, how he actually does it. That when God is working in our lives, is not some mysterious thing, something you cannot be aware of. You can be very clear about what God is doing and how he's doing it. That when you need a help, let's say help in the area of healing, in wisdom, in overcoming a challenge or a difficulty, that there is a resource that God can draw from to help you. And it's called grace. Say grace. Grace. That simple word we've heard all of our lives. It's more than just a word. Grace is the power of God through Christ coming to us through the Holy Spirit, bringing everything God has. Everything God has. Grace is unmerited favor. We know that. Grace, I say, also is everything God has that he makes available to us. Grace is what Jesus gave us. He died. He rose again from the dead. He sent the Holy Spirit to us to distribute among us the grace of God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is our first text, verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." Amen. As Paul's talking about, the whole context is about what the gospel is. Why he preached the gospel, what the gospel is, how the gospel changes lives, and how that God gave him grace to preach that gospel. Now, Paul, we know, was a hater of the church. He persecuted people, had people put to death. He was a bad man, a very bad man. And yet Jesus confronted him on the Damascus Road. Remember that? And the Bible says, blinded him, had scales on his eyes, and dealt with him. And the first thing Paul said was, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He had enough sense to know who was dealing with him and to yield to what God was trying to do in his life through grace. And then we know Paul labored. He labored and worked for the Lord. That's why he said in verse 10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." That's a good statement for all of us in Christ. Say, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's how I feel about my life. I'm sure of it because it has to be God who's helped me all these years to stay with him, to serve him through all of my failings and shortcomings. It is the grace of God. And as Paul said, his grace to me was not in vain. As Paul said, God didn't waste anything on me. He didn't waste anything on me. Whatever God gave me, I received it. I'm living it. I'm enjoying it. Amen? You know, if somebody give me a gift, a birthday gift, or give me some money, give me a gift card, Amazon, it won't be wasted. You won't waste a gift card on me. Amen. My wife and I, we collect, you know, because of you all helping us every year, we get these gift cards for dinners and restaurants, and we don't use them all at once, obviously, but Pat has them all stacked up somewhere. She got a whole collection of, you know. So every Friday is date night. You can sort the card, where are we going tonight, you know, so we got we pick one. It's a discount on the meal, so we go over there. If it's, you know, in other words, Paul is saying, nothing God has given me is going to be wasted. I'm going to use it. I'll be used by it. He won't waste grace on me. That's a powerful scripture. Powerful because it's showing us that grace not only supplies us what we need, grace gives us ability to function in where we're functioning. Grace gives us energy to keep doing what we're doing. Amen. And it's just, it's like this engine of grace. It's an engine on the inside of us. You know, even Jeremiah got discouraged and said, I'm through, I'm done. They're talking about me and threatening my life, and I'm just going to stop preaching. And he said, but God's word was in me, like fire in my bones, and I could not hold my peace. Like, you know, we were kids. Now, we had, now they got, kids, they had these deep, sophisticated games, you know. We had simple game. It's a big, like a big old punching bag thing with a clown face on it, whatever it is. It had weight in the bottom. The rest of it was air. And when you pushed it, it'd fall over and pop back up again. You punch it, it'd come back up. You know what I'm saying? That's how we are. Amen. You knock us down, we come back up again. We keep coming up. And thing is, what's good about it is the thing comes up whether it wants to or not. Because it was designed to come back up. Right? It was designed to pop up. So we're designed to pop back up. Amen. That will knock you out. There you are, laid out. He laid out there. And before you know it, you back up again. Now, you still look knocked out, but you're up, but you're vertical. What is a hub? A hub is the central part of a wheel. Like a, you know, like a spoke wheel. A hub is also the center around which other things revolve, from which they radiate, a focus of activity. So the next slide shows here's a bicycle wheel. There's a hub in the middle, spokes supporting the wheel. We know what a hub is. A hub gives structure and gives a point of strength to the whole wheel. The spokes without a hub wouldn't be very strong. So the hub gives structure and strength to the whole wheel system. The other side shows like a network diagram. We know that there are hubs of activity. Think about a hospital as a hub where you've got everything there from emergency and trauma care. You've got therapists there. You've got people treating various ailments. You've got a pharmacy in there. I mean, it's a hub, right? It's a hub. And so that we have all these hubs in our lives, hubs of activity, hubs as a central focus. And I suggest to you that grace is our hub. Grace is multifaceted. Grace is multifunctional. Grace has variety within unified purpose. Say that. Say grace is multifaceted.
Grace is multifaceted.
Grace is multifunctional. Grace has variety within unified purpose. Grace is a hub for my life.
Grace is a hub for my life.
Amen. It's a really, really big thing. It's a major deal. It's so much. I mean, it's a simple word, and you might think that it's not a whole lot to it, but don't be dismayed by the simplicity of the word, because it's connected to God. It's full of power and ability and resource. Let me give you an example of a hub. This next slide shows you a picture of Indianapolis Union Station. I did some research on this. I learned something a couple of days ago. I didn't know. First of all, I did not know that the Union Station, the name is not Union Station. The Union is what it is. But Indianapolis Union Station is the first Union Station of its type in the world. Opening September 20, 1853. Now, it's a Union Station, also called Union Terminal. In Europe, they call it a joint station. It's a railway station with tracks and facilities shared by two or more separate railway companies. The way it used to be, each company had their own trains and their own tracks and their own station. So in this city, they had three or four, they had their own tracks, their own trains, their own stations. So you want to catch a train, certain place, you go to that station. Catch a train over here, go to that station. And so people running around trying to get to the station that had the train going where they wanted to go. And so the concept was, the idea somebody had was, let's have one place where different train companies can come and they can share the tracks, share the station, and let customers choose the train they want to ride. That's what happened. So Union Station was a union of stations. That's why it's called Union Station. Now, I like this because it speaks to me of a hub. It became a hub. They took all these various stations and tracks and companies. They still were different companies, but they joined together to build one facility, and people could have easier access because now there was a hub. And that just spoke to my heart that grace enables, empowers, and gathers everything into our lives. Grace is the hub of all fruitful and authentic Christian activity. Grace, God's grace, is more than a nice word. Grace is a virtue and a power at work on the inside of believers in Christ. You receive that?
Amen.
Think about that. Think about how that even at a church, local church, is a place, a hub. We come for prayer. We come for teaching. We come for different trainings, different types. The church back in the day was used as a point of reference, a point of gathering for civil rights action. I mean, there's always been hubs in our lives. And I suggest that the grace of God is a hub in your life. See, the grace of God, is a hub in my life. So now, grace is intrinsic, not extrinsic. And intrinsic means belonging to the essential nature of a thing, occurring as a natural part of something, right? So intrinsic is, this is a part of me. The grace of God is a part of me, you know. I mean, obviously, your family and the love you have is intrinsic. Love is intrinsic. Now, I might like stuff. That's extrinsic, right? I might like that car. I like those shoes over there. That's all outside of me. But there are great things. The greater things are inside of me. So grace is intrinsic. It is belonging to my essential nature. Amen, somebody? Amen. You should know what things, by the way, are intrinsic and which things are just extrinsic, right? Don't mix it up, right? Don't major on the minors. But grace is one of those things, one of those virtues. It's intrinsic. It's a hub. Grace is everything I need. Amen, somebody? Now, all of us have activities of which we're a part. And there are some of us who are, or some of y'all into shopping and into brands, into home goods. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We have hubs, things we're into, health foods and so forth. Well, let me suggest that we take that same interest and passion and apply it to the grace of God. Because I promise you, you'll get a whole lot more out of grace than fantasy football, shopping, whatever it is. Those things aren't bad. I'm just saying, we got to look at how we're spending our time and what value we're getting from the time we're spending. Well, there is something called information. We all deal with information and trying to get access to things. And so some of us have information without a hub, you know. So we got like notes. We got notepads, we got post-it notes, we got little bits and pieces of stuff everywhere. That's how we manage our information. We got stuffed in the drawer, stuffed in the file cabinet, on the phone, on the desktop, on the laptop, in the hard drive that crashed. And so that is information without a hub. Now, the next slide here is information with a hub, okay? Now, I use an app called Evernote, in which all my information is in the cloud. I mean, I got everything in there, all my sermon notes. I've got everything. I got, you know, pictures of things in there, video clips. If it's important to me, I'll put it in Evernote. And the thing is, I got Evernote on my phone, on my iPad, on my desktop, laptop computer. If I just make a note, dictate a note, it goes to Evernote. If I put a PDF in Evernote, listen, it will scan and read the whole PDF and convert it to words. So when I do a search, I can search inside the PDF. If I say I want information about financial markets, it's going to find everything in my Evernote about financial markets, including PDF documents. My point is, it's just the way that I have learned to manage information. It's a hub for me. Now, you know, I almost brought my day timer with me. Now, if you know what day timer is, you're old school. Day timer, or Franklin, it was this binder you carried around, like this notebook, leather, padded, made it look good so you felt better about the mess on the inside, but you hand wrote your dates and so forth. It worked fine. Now, even that little backup one slide, even if you got this going on, it's all there, isn't it? Except if you're not there. Now, if you're not there in front of that mess, you don't know where anything is. So if you're across town, if you know what I'm saying, say, hey, I need the information from the meeting we had yesterday. Well, it's at home. Home? Yeah, it's on my desk. We need it now. I'll be at home tonight. Now, I don't want it tonight. I want it now. Now, I'm just saying that we all have hubs. We all have hubs. So why don't we have that same kind of focus where it concerns the grace of God, the things of God? Why aren't we that focused on knowing what God said, what the Bible teaches? I mean, scriptures about, you know, marriage and mental health. I mean, we should have access to information from God, and have access to it as quickly as we get access to my fantasy football league or my financial statements. Now, I understand grace in a similar way because God is omnipresent. That is, he's everywhere all the time. That is, his information then and resources are also everywhere. So because God's everywhere, whatever he has is everywhere. So wherever I'm at, home, work, traveling, if I need God's help, he is there. He's not somewhere else. He is there. The Bible says that Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Say, Father, thank you. You are my refuge. You are my strength, a very present help in trouble. He's a present help. That's why, listen, if you feel like God is distant from you, God, where are you? Then it's not a God problem. It's an issue where I'm not in the hub. See, I don't have a hub where there's prayer, there's scripture, there's understanding of what the Bible actually says, there's my pastor's messages. I mean, I'm taking in the resources. And I'm taking time in the morning to pray so I remain sensitive all day to God, right? If I begin my day in a rush and madness and confusion and so forth, then that kind of follows me all day. And I'm bewildered all day. I can't sense God. No, he's a very present help in the time of need. Now, Peter talked about in our text we read earlier, the manifold grace. He said that we should use the ability which God supplies. Whatever you do, he says, use the ability which God supplies. So grace has given us ability. You got abilities. Say, I got abilities. And you've trained to those skills as well. But God helped you train, helped you learn, didn't it? And so that we wanted in, say, Lord, thank you that if I'm tasked with an assignment on my work, on my job, or at school, or in life, then, Lord, I have the ability. You've given me what I need to get this done. I have it because grace is my hub. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me give you a story about the Apostle Paul and something that he discovered. He discovered grace as a hub, and he learned to live by it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. You can see it. Read with me, please. He said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he might depart from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Now, if you don't have perspective on what Paul's saying here, he's talking crazy talk right here. This is crazy. I mean, the last point he said there, I boast in my infirmities. Then he said, verse 10, "I take pleasure in my infirmities." Are you crazy? What's wrong with you, Paul? What is wrong with you? But get the perspective he had. For him, grace was a hub. Grace was his lifestyle. Grace was his supply. Whatever he needed, God gave it to him. And he knew that. He lived that way. He learned to live that way. And he said, verse 7 there, he gave perspective that lest I should be exalted above measure, because he had revelation, he knew so much, and he had a lot. He says that God gave him a thorn in the flesh. He had something happening to him that helped him keep perspective. And he said it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. I don't know what it meant exactly, but obviously the devil was messing with him. Just put, you know, in our vernacular, the devil was messing with him, and he was fighting off things, but he realized what God was doing through all that. See, at first he said, "Lord, take this from me. Just take it away." But then he learned, God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen, when Paul said, "Take this from me," God's answer was not no. God's answer is, "My grace is sufficient for you." That is, what I give you is enough to help you meet that challenge. Hear me, it's a pretty deep thing to realize that God can use a weakness to change your perspective on how to live. Now, let's be clear. I'm not talking about sins. I'm talking about weaknesses. I'm not saying, man, I meant to smoke that whole joint, but I only had a couple of tokes instead. That's my weaknesses. Dope. No, your weakness is not. Not sin. I'm talking about weaknesses. Weaknesses, okay? So Paul said that God let his weaknesses become a point of focus on God's strength. God said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Listen, y'all, I don't go around saying I'm weak, but you know you got weakness. You got to talk about it. You know it. Now, I'll share one thing. I have a business photography, aerial photography and so forth. I got to fly drones and things like that, and need a license to fly the drone for commercial. So I have to certify with FAA, take a test, pay money, take a test, pass the test, and to have a license to fly a drone for commercial and get paid for it. I got a weakness. Test taking is a weakness for me. I'm not a I don't like tests. Tests don't like me. You know what I'm saying? I'm good at creative things. You know, I'm good at drawing and creating and building things with my hands and my mind. But a test, a straight-up test, that's a weakness for me. And yet, for what God wants me to do, I keep having to take tests. Tests in life, tests in ministry, tests in marriage. Even got to do tests to get my to fly my drone commercially. Well, last week, I took my called recurrent test every 2 years, and I passed it with 98%. Hallelujah, 98%. But what you don't know is I failed my first test 2 years ago. I failed the first test. 2 years, I hid that for a long time. Well, I hid it until I passed it. Then I told everybody, you know. When I passed it, then I passed it. I failed the first one. Hallelujah. Well, then the second test, I had 90%. Third test, I got 98%. I'm getting better, right? So now, hear me, I still don't like tests. But like Paul said, I learned that God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. So when a test is coming, I study. I have methods for study. I got ways of studying. I study like crazy, knowing the test is coming. And so now my strength is in studying. I'm good at study. I'm good at learning. So the weakness has produced in me a strength of studying. And so I glory in the test because I get to learn. I get to study. I get to prepare for the test. You follow me? Amen. And that's the perspective we have. See, grace is sufficient. Grace is sufficient to prepare you for what you're going to face. You believe that? God's grace is sufficient. Say, Lord, thank you. Your grace is sufficient for me. Then Paul said, therefore, I will gladly rather boast in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now it makes sense, doesn't it? So four things, or five things Paul said. I'm done. Five things Paul said. Five things Paul learned and then taught us. Number one is we all have burdens and weaknesses that keep us humble. Amen, somebody? Number two, grace is sufficient. God does not say no to help. He trains us to find help his way, right? We think God going to do it this way. He come the other way, right? He'll show us how he wants to help us. We don't get to decide how he helps us. He decides, and we figure it out. Number three, that strength comes out of weakness. If you cannot admit to your weakness, you will not become stronger. I mean, if I didn't admit that I was struggling at tests, taking a test, that I wouldn't have developed better methods for studying and reading and all that. Number four, embrace the trouble or weakness. You got to embrace it. You got to embrace the weakness. Embrace the thing you struggle with. You got to talk about it. You got to brag about it. You got to tell anybody about it. But you got to embrace it. And then receive God's answer and strength. That's how grace is working. Because grace is more than you have, right? You don't have enough. So just say, I don't have enough, Lord. I need more of you. Okay, I know you're not saying, God, I got it. God, I got it. I got it. Folks love saying I got it when they don't got it. Now, it's okay to be confident now, you know. Before people, or before God, you need to be broken before God, right? Don't show people what you show God now. Don't do that. Now, you can tell some trusted people. You can confide in people you trust. In fact, you should do that. But don't put stuff out there. Then, finally, say what Paul said. Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Say, Lord, thank you. When I am weak, then I am strong. Say it again. When I am weak, then I am strong. And the sense is, when I am weak in myself, I can be strong in the Lord. When I'm admitting to what I'm weak at, I can gain strength. I can gain more. Now, when you're in school, you know how this works. When you're in school, if you struggle with a subject, with a test, anything in school, if you sat there and struggled, didn't ask for any help, shame on you. And you suffered the consequence. You thought you had it. I got it. You don't got it. So ask the teacher for help. They want to help you. I mean, now, some teachers say, can I help you? That happens a lot. You know, in grade school, in high school, in college, nobody says anything. You know what I'm saying? You don't speak up. You don't come to class. In a phone call, we missed you today. No, no, no. They figured, you know, you're in college to organize yourself. College is about organizing yourself to get this whole thing done. Learning happens along the way. But college is about organizing your life to get the mission done. Amen. It really is. So when you're weak, then you can be strong. So saints of God, just be encouraged that grace is your hub. Everything you need is there for you. But get into it. Make it one of your life's activities. If you know you're weak, then be strong. Don't cater to the weakness. Admit it and then embrace the grace of God to help. Let's all stand. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, for your help. Lord, thank you for your grace. As the scripture, Lord, said in the list we gave out to your people, Lord, you've said so much to us. Lord, you said to us, John 1:16 says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Lord, we even have grace to gain more grace. Lord, you said, it says in Acts 4:33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Lord, your grace is a real power. It's a resource. It's something worthy of our study.